תעשו עוול במשפט ולא תשא פני דל ולא תדר פני גדול וסבב תשפוט עמיתך. You should not commit a perversion of justice. You should not favor the poor. You should not honor the great. With righteousness shall you judge your fellow. That's how my father lived his life. In his diary, as I was going through his desk, I found two index cards with just a quote that he wanted to write so people could, I don't know, he just, you can hear? He had a quote, two quotes that he wrote. One of them is this pasuk that I just read from Vayikra. And he really held to this belief of justice. My father was a very unique person and passionate about his beliefs. And he was determined to accomplish his goals. And my father accomplished a lot during his lifetime. I learned a lot in the past 30 days about my father. I thought I knew a lot about him. I did know a lot about him. There were a few things that I know about. Even though I knew he had accomplished, he built over 40 buildings in Panama in his lifetime. But I didn't know he was a professor of engineering in the college, in the University of Panama. This was going through letters, I found this. I knew also that in the 60s he worked for the Panama Canal Commission, which is involved in making the canal bigger and wider because the ships were now bigger at this time. So he was part of the team who worked on making this larger. I didn't know that he worked for Dreyfus Mutual Funds when he was living in New York. This is all new to me. I knew he was involved in changing things in Panama and trying to make it better. But until I was sitting Shiva in Panama, I didn't know that he had started an organization called CORESPA, which is the Coalition for the Rescue of Panama, 4 years ago. So he moved down to Panama 4 years ago and was determined to try to make Panama a better country. He took eight professors, and together with them he started this organization that, according to the people who were visiting me, had thousands and thousands of followers. And I remember you would walk through Panama, which is the city, and going to shul, you would have a river right through the middle of the city, and it was like raw sewage in a way, and it really, really was terrible. And my father was determined to fix it. And once I called him on the cell phone, and he said, "Elliot, I'm in the middle of a march." And I said, "What do you mean?" "Yeah, I have with thousands of people. We're marching. We're trying to get this river cleaned up, and my group is overturning it." And about a year ago, he won. The government gave money to change this, and they're in the middle of cleaning this river that's in the middle of the city. In the past few years, my father's been published about a dozen times in the newspapers in Panama. He was interviewed on the Panamanian radio, which I heard on the internet live. He had called me, he was very excited. And he had met with all the presidential candidates in the elections this year in Panama. They all had to get the approval of his organization. They all wanted the support. So they all actually met with him. I remember about a year ago, we went to Panama. And he wanted us to have lunch with his friends, and he had this lawyer and this professor, and there's two university students there. And I didn't understand, you know, this whole mix of people. And as my father's talking to his friends over there, I'm talking to these students, and they're just like, "Wow, I can't believe that's your father." You know, like, they were just like hanging on every word that he would say. It was amazing. A year ago, he happened to be in the hospital, and people from all walks of life came to visit. People I never met, people I never heard of. He was part of an organization that of his neighborhood. They were trying to stop buildings from being built because it would block the shade in the park. That's how involved he was. I spoke to some of his friends in the past month, just a few of the rabbis. My father had a lot of friends who were rabbis. He loved going any city, and he would always call this rabbi and that rabbi. And he liked it. It wasn't about, you know, a blessing or anything like that. It was just going to speak, converse with them, get ideas, and give advice, because he loved giving advice. I spoke to the head of Torah Vedat, which Rabbi Levinson spoke about, was a yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vedat, Rabbi Belsky, was actually in my father's class. Now he's the head of the Rosh Yeshiva. I called him 2 weeks ago, and he was crying on the phone. He couldn't believe it. he called me. He told me that when I was talking to him, that my father would come to town once a year, twice a year, would always go to him, and he would say that, "Come on, Rabbi, let's go down. I want to sit in the shiur with you." And he would sit in the shiur with the Rosh Hashiva, in this, and then he would sit afterwards and discuss the shiur with Rabbi Belsky. That's what he enjoyed to do. I spoke to Rabbi Kasola, who was a rabbi in Highland Park, and now is in Atlanta, who had his own issues, and he said that without my father's help, he would not have been able to get through his hard, difficult times. He also told me that, which is true, my father would be equally comfortable speaking to a rabbi or a king, as well as the busboy in the restaurant. He could joke with anybody appreciated his laughter, and he was really comfortable. He made them all feel good. My father had an intuitive knowledge of what was right and what was wrong, and he was ahead of it in his thinking. Rabbi Shammah told me how every time he would come to town, my father would keep him in the loop of what was going on in the Sephardic world, around the world. He would give him the news from Israel or from other places. During the Shabbat, when I was sitting in Brooklyn, Rabbi Ben Hamu and Rabbi Haver spoke, and I was very moved how my father had an influence in both their lives from the time they were going to Yeshiva University. Things I never knew. He would send them books. He would send them articles. He would try to support them. He was very involved, as Rabbi Glaviton said, about starting a program for Sephardic rabbis in Latin America at Yeshiva University in 93. I was in school at the time, and they had a dinner, and they honored him, and he really wasn't interested in the honor, but he really started this scholarship for students to come from Latin American country, and the only way to be part of the scholarship is to study and then go back to that country and become a rabbi in that country. That was the way he supported it. And that's why they were, when he was calling the people, one of the students decided to become a doctor. And he was already in the middle of a scholarship. That's when my father had a problem. I was in his apartment as I was walking out the 7 days, and I see on top of the refrigerator there was a paint, like a what do you call this? A picture. And there's 9 different groups of baseball teams. Kids. Maybe they were 9 years old to 12 years old. But not kids from the community. They were kids from the interior of Panama. Regular kids, my father, and they're all wearing t-shirts. Each group was a different, each team was a different name. Let's say, reference to here would be, I don't know, a restaurant, Mezanove team, or, you know, the Chocotota team. Each one was wearing relative to Panama. And as I was going through his papers, I saw a speech that he wrote to these kids. He has started a program, a baseball team, and he got all his friends who owned all these different restaurants to give money to sponsor this league for the Panamanian kids, and he held it in the Jewish base area in Panama. I wanted to. He wrote a lot of articles in the past 2, 3 years, 4 years, where he would get published, and he wrote articles just to rabbis and different organizations. I thought a good way of getting the gist of what he was doing and what he was saying, and to get an idea, is to read just a quote from 3, 4 articles that he wrote. I wanted to read quickly. This is a letter he wrote to a rabbi, March 2, 2008. And I quote, "If you read all the letters I've written to you carefully, you'll realize that I have been consistent in what I've said repeatedly. The fate and the destiny of Am Yisrael is more important than any single individual. When rabbis in the position of leadership forget this, Am Yisrael suffers and Jews are victims. If you were a good student of Jewish history, you would know this. Today's Jews are responsible for bad reputation, since they do not comply halakha and are only interested in material things. They are not a light unto the nations, but a disgrace to Jewish people. Look around you and see what's happening all over the world. The greatest menace today is not the crazy Arabs that kill themselves, but the religious fanatics that teach them to act irresponsibly. This could happen in all religions. Drugs and deterioration of the family nucleus are responsible for the sad shape of the world. When clerics of all religions ignore this menace, they are acting irresponsibly." In the speech that he wrote to university students January 13th, 2008, "There's too much apathy in all these capable professionals who are involved in the future of the country. The vast majority of Panamanians are guilty of indifference that affects everyone. Unless we show a greater interest in trying to change things, not just talking and writing, the quality of life in Panama will deteriorate. Young professionals, wake up and participate, because otherwise you will be responsible for what will happen in Panama. Not everything is measured in dollars and cents. Education in Panama is in the toilet. Forget even its ethics and morals. Many claim to be religious believers and worry about the situation we live in. But few take the time to make sure they improve the situation and the status quo. Our children are not receiving the best examples of their parents. When adults decide not to participate in solving problems that abound in our society, we must reflect seriously on this, because elections come and go, but every time we have corrupt politicians, the future does not look good. Our country's wealth is being wasted. December 2007, he wrote an article. I'm just taking a quote. Today we are confronting crises of all kinds, and most humans are disconnected from reality and try to escape from the daily pressures. Some resort to the use of drugs of all kinds, legal and illegal, while others do not think about anything that affects them and just say we can do nothing. This is a defeatist attitude. I consider it imperative that we all have an obligation to comment on things that affect us and try to get involved in solving the problem. We must get involved despite the consequences. That's why I formed the group Coalition Rescue Panama, because I see things that concern me and scare me. I've tried to bring people together, their experience, and mature, and I've discovered that age is not important and not crucial. Many older people are exhausted, do not want to work anymore. While many young people are concerned about the uncertain future, despite their age, they're ready to say out loud without fear of consequences. This is healthy, because when one is young, one is more daring. December 25th, 2007. If you learn the Torah and interpret it properly, you'll realize that all God wants is what's summarized in Yirmiyahu. Thus says Hashem, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, nor the strong man boast of his strength, nor the rich man boast of his riches. But let him that boasts exult in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who practices kindness, justice, and righteousness. That was the Haftarah to Shabbat. January 4th, 2008. During the 7 decades of my life, I've lived a good life, but sometimes suffered the consequences of my actions and comments. One should always act according to what he and his conscience tells him, without fear of the consequences. One should be an example to his children and fellow citizens. I'm proud of what I've achieved to date, and with God's help, I'll continue working for the good of Panama and the rest of the world. We are all important to God. We just have to have the courage to say and do what is right and just, which is what he demands from each of us. I'm happy, because in a few weeks I'll be visited by my children and grandchildren who live in New York, and we'll enjoy each other's company. I'll take them to different places of this beautiful country, Panama, and I'll explain to them all the things I'm trying to accomplish here. I can't read any more articles. I just want to read you some titles of the articles that he wrote. I accuse. Starting the 21st century on the wrong foot. And now what? The year we bring back dignity to Panama. The Sparks of Life. Finding a solution. I accuse part two. Viva Panama. Elias Zakai, father and exemplary citizen. Faith and doubt. Vacuum of leadership. Hanukkah and the 21st century. He also would write letters of advice to presidents, prime ministers. He was just involved in this. Whether they read it or not, he liked it, whether it got something out of him or not. He wrote a letter to Hillary Clinton when she was campaigning. And just to give you a quick paragraph. We're living in difficult times, and the youth of today are searching for answers to their questions. Unfortunately, the mass media has taken over, and they could give George Gobbles lessons in communication. Remember what he was famous for? If you repeat a lie often enough, it becomes a truth. We are losing the war for the body and soul of our future generations because we are succumbing to what is expedient for our own selfish interests and not considering what is really necessary for the survival of humanity. We are nearsighted. I recommend you read the biography of Adlai Stevenson and Robert E. Lee. There are some interesting things for you to learn. Perhaps you should also read about General Douglas MacArthur. We must never forget our history, otherwise we're condemned to relive it. What I'm trying to say is that the truth will prevail. In the Jewish religion, we have a saying that goes like this. The seal of God is in the truth. Be faithful to that. My father not only cared, but he was caring. He wanted to see development and progression in the rabbinate in Panama. He worked very hard to influence the community in Panama. He was in a different league with what he was trying to do and a little bit ahead of his time. But he was very frustrated. The second card that I saw that he had there was another pasuk from Mishle. Ki berov hochma rav kas yosif da'at yosif nachot. For with much wisdom come much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases pain. He had a dream of moving to Florida to establish a school there for a lot of Latin American Jews that were moving there from different places in Latin America. He spoke to Rabbi Ben-Hamu about it, Rabbi Lamb. I found letters with Rabbi Elliot Batty. My father's time has come and his work here is done. His mission continues. He has a following and people continue to work on his behalf in Panama. And we will definitely continue working on his behalf. In November 2007, in an article about his father, he wrote, I've tried to be faithful to what my father taught me during my residence in Panama and in New York. I hope that I never disappoint him. I've spent much of my life trying to be an exemplary father and one who contributes to the welfare society in which I live. When I die, they can say about me, he was concerned, and he tried to provoke and tried to make positive change wherever he lived. Poppy, we will say that and much more.